Yeah, Rick Tockett will join us here in a moment. I'll bet you Rick Tockett, I mean, there's a guy that's seen it on both sides, right? Yep. Playing a game forever and then coaching. And we'll ask him about that. Like, as when you became a coach, did you – how did you view the players? You know, through what lens do you view the players? Because they're, you can't act like you're a player anymore. You're not.
No.
You're a coach, and players aren't going to respect that either. You can't be pretending like you're one of the boys, something like that. That's not the way it operates. But
right. But still, like, it, I bet you a guy like Talk would understand when guys need to blow off some steam and you kind of look the other way and know they're going to be dragging their asses the next day in practice or whatever.
The problem is, Noodles, it's like you want them to blow off some steam, but you see the problems. Starting with simple stuff, like the stupid cab ride the kids in Ottawa got in, and all of a sudden that's on tape. And they're just talking about how much they can't stand their coach, and they all got in crap for that. It's like,
right.
you can't even get in a cab doing the right thing, and you're talking smack about your coach, which every player does, and they get in trouble for that. It's like, what the hell can you get away with? Or how can you have some fun when everything is everywhere?
Yeah, everything's recorded. Right. It's like Big Brother, right? If you're a celebrity, there's a good chance. Look at Urban Meyer.
Dude,
Dr.
exactly.
Urban Meyer.
That guy, yeah.
Urban Meyer 20 years ago, no one knows any better. No one knows what he was up to.
And nothing's talked about.
No, and he would have been on that dance floor 20 years ago. I guarantee you that.
Dude, grinding.
Joining us now on the Maple Toyota Hotline is a longtime NHL player, head coach. See him on the NHL on TNT. Here is Rick Tocchet. What's happening, Rick?
Good, guys. How are you doing? You know what? That's a good point by you guys. That's why some guys in the dressing room are so tight, because they're scared to have their personalities outside the rink, right? So, you know, that sucks that you can't even rip your coach. I'm sure guys rip me.
Well, that's...
Which you don't mind, though. You don't mind because, you know, they vent. It's okay to vent.
Well,
that's
right. You probably just don't want to hear it, though, right? Like, you know it's coming, but what would that experience be like if you heard a group of your players just carving some of your decisions?
Well, listen, we've all been there, but, you know, what your respect and character of a guy, you know, some guys say they went out for dinner. They come the next day and say, hey, listen, man, Talk, we don't like the way the power play or the penalty kill, and can we try to – I have no problem. Just, you know, back it up by coming to at least face the guy, right? I think that would be something, you know, for me, for character. Yeah, no problem, but, like, come talk to the coach if you got a problem. So I got no problem, like I said, guys venting, but just come the next day and talk about it and get it on the open.
Talk, have you ever said to the guys anywhere you've been coaching, like, go and blow it out tonight and have a good time? But, like, you got to be scared, you know, what-less, because just of all the stupid stuff that can happen.
Yeah, I mean, guys always, you know, they come up, they say, you know, Talk, a couple months, can we have a rookie party here and there? And, you know, you just try to warn these guys. Yeah, listen, I'm all for that, but you got to be careful. You know, don't be publicizing stuff, things like that. I'm an old school, new school guy, so it's like nice guys to get together. You just got to be careful and you got to be respectful and all that stuff. And it's a different world out there.
Talk, when you were looking at your players and through the, we'll call it the new school lens, you know, you're an old school guy who's seen it all in the league. Do you almost draw comparisons for players? You got a guy that's sitting on your bench and be like, you know what, he reminds me of this player that I played with as far as personality or what he brings to the rink. Did you use that in your coaching, or is it more you just got to have a clean slate with guys?
You know, a clean slate. I mean, I've always loved guys that I love rooms that guys chirp each other, chirp, you know, even chirp the coach every once in a while. You know, I think it just adds, you know, a lot of personality in the room. You know, I think it's really important to have that. Even when you have a tough coach, you know, I had Mike Keenan, Scotty Bowen. Those guys were tough coaches, but our room was, the rooms we had there had so much personality that, you know, you could deflect that. And you know, you can make that workplace really enjoyable. So, is there guys that remind me? Yeah, I'm sure. You know, there's certain guys that you know when I play with, and there's some new guys. Yeah, you remind me of that for sure. But I just feel like, you know, I want personality in the room. Like, I guess my only thing is, if I ever get back into coaching, I'd ask my leadership group, like, can we turn the music off maybe just 5 minutes before you go to warm up? Because I don't know. I don't know if I can have that music on the whole time right before the game. It just, that would drive me nuts. And every team does it. Every team does it.
Really?
Wow.
So every room league-wide, they're just all – whenever they're getting dressed and warmed up in the room or whatever, there's music blowing the whole time?
I couldn't stand that.
Well, to warm up. But, you know, I'm old school, like, in the sense that I need 5 minutes, you know, before you get out there, because that's when you get the good chirps and you talk about it, you know. Hey, boys, we're going against McDavid. You know, make sure we do this. Like, there's certain things that you could, as teammates, you do. And I don't know, music blare until that time, but maybe that'll never change because, I think the leadership group always wants that music. They love it. So,
yeah, that is weird. Like, that is a different era, man. I'm sure. Like,
dude, it was always 30, like an hour before warm up.
Yeah,
that stuff's
it used to
off.
Be half an hour before or whatever. Yeah, whatever it was, there was a specific time that it went off, and you knew that was time for business type of thing.
Yeah, you know, I think business, but plus, you know, I wasn't a guy that, you know, you run Excel. I mean, he just stare at his glove the whole, in the getting dressed and, very intense where, we had guys would like to, chirp each other, talk. There's different ways to get ready for a game, and there is business too. I mean, and I think that room misses that when you just have the music blaring. Guys got their iPods in, they're walking around stretching on their own. There's a lot of individual stuff when guys getting ready, and I understand that. The guys got mental coaches and stuff, which is great. I just think there's got to be a little bit of team stuff sometimes just before warm-up, just to get every dialed in and kind of loosen the room up.
We're chatting with Rick Tocchet. This time of year, every team is going through the team bonding process. The Leafs are up in Muskoka right now, and everyone's going to say we got a tight room, we feel good. But based on your experience as a player, being in the league as long as you did, how often would you be on the verge of a new season and you realized we haven't bonded, we're not that tight, we're not that great, or whatever it is? Like, how often would you maybe take a step back and say, this doesn't feel like we're on the verge of a successful season?
Yeah, I think early on, I know I was talking to Craig Berube today. He's taking his team up the Vail for, before their opener. I love that stuff. It gets every way. But, the first couple months, if a team's tight, if the guys are, got each other's back and there's chemistry, you know it. You can't force the team bonding. It's got to be natural, organic. Usually it derives from the older guys, the leadership group. But the young guys got to take a step forward too, and they got to take a piece of the pie when it comes to that too, for that team bonding stuff. But I believe in that stuff. I mean, whether it's going somewhere or together, because most of the time, guys go to practice, they go home, everybody goes to their own place. Some teams don't travel as much on the road. Like, in Arizona, we traveled a ton. So, guys would get together a lot. And you could see some years from the other if the team's close or not.
We're chatting with Rick Tocchet. We were having a discussion about McDavid yesterday and what is reasonable in terms of points, because we haven't seen someone hit 130 points in a season, I believe, since Mario in the early 90s, and you would have been on those teams. He is obviously head and shoulders above everyone else in terms of point production. If he's healthy, last year he would have been on pace for a ton of points over 82 games. But
right.
If he's not playing with Draisaitl, and it doesn't sound like he will 5-on-5, do you think it's reasonable to expect 130-plus points out of McDavid this year?
You know what? Nothing would surprise me with that guy. I mean, he's, the speed and his rush, I've never seen anything like it. If you can limit the rush chances with that team, you have a chance to win. But I think now with a different schedule, the schedule back to normal, got to go into Chicago, go to these different teams. Teams will be a little more, you can game plan. But you could say that, they played last year in the Canadian Division where you had them seven times, almost like a playoff, so you can kind of scheme. I think it's going to be a little more difficult with the schedule this year. But listen, can he get 130 points? Absolutely. But I don't know if that's the goal. I mean, is the goal that, or is that for Edmonton to get through the first, second, third round? I mean, that's the goal. So, look at Michael Jordan. He's scoring 50, 60 points. Phil Jackson got there, said, hey, man, if you score 30 and distribute the ball more, we have a better chance of winning. So I think Pip's got that mentality with that team. It's not so much how many points he gets. It's, the quality of minutes he gets and trying to get the third and fourth line to contribute.
Talk, how excited were you finding out about the Philly Sports Hall of Fame? I know I saw some. I couldn't believe my eyes seeing Paul Holmgren who was the scariest man I've ever met in hockey. He was my first coach, and I couldn't even imagine him getting emotional over something, but it must have been quite the news to get that phone call.
Yeah, it was great. I mean, you know, the guys that, and I know Clarke and Bernie and all those guys when I was a young kid, and then, you know, the Dave Poulins and Tim Kerr's of the world. So, you know, those guys have been in my life. Great, you know, really helped my career. So I got, you know, so to go up there with those guys, yeah, you're humbled. I mean, you know, Rex is, you know, he's probably next. There's a lot of great hockey players, and, I'm, you know, he's humbling. And yeah, you're right. Homer, oh, he was my coach too there. We used to call him Walking Tall. He used to walk with that stick around the room, and man, when he got mad, boy, oh, those
oh my
eyes and,
God.
Oh, he'd scare you. He scared the hell out of you. I'll tell you that.
How many coaches did you have that would scare you throughout your career?
Well, Homer for one, just an intimidating guy. You know, like I don't know if it's a scared. Like, you know, Keenan was more like you just don't know what he's gonna do the next day. Like if he scare you that way, like you know, show up at the rink and we're gonna skate you, or, you know, or you're not gonna dress. Like it wasn't intimidating. It was more of what he could do to you, right? You know, Scotty was more of a tactical guy, but you know, he didn't talk to you that much. But man, was he an unbelievable bench coach? You know, Jim Schoffel. I'll tell you, Jim Schoffel would scare. I remember in a dressing room doing video one day, and I can't tell you exactly what happened, but J.R. said something to him, and he told everybody to leave. He started rolling up the sleeves. He said, boys, get out of the door. He locked the door. It was just him and J.R. And everybody, I know Keith Kachuk and all of us, we had a year against the door, and I remember showing, he goes to J.R., okay, let's go. What do you got for me? But I love Shoney. Shoney was a father figure, you know, but he was a tough guy too, man. He was a man out there.
Yeah.
He's a big man too, wasn't he? Pretty like big guy.
We one day we were at the parking lot, and he said everybody get 20-pound weights or 25-pound weights, right? So he goes, you just, you know, it's like aerobic class, you follow me. So we did what he did, okay, curls and stuff. We're looking at each other, this is easy. Well, about 20 minutes later, man, we were sucking wind. We were done, and he's still going at it. And it was his point of telling you, hey, man, I've been shaped too. And at the time, he was, you know, I forget how old he was at that time, but, man, he was a strong man.
Yeah, that would be that'd be pretty good for an All or Nothing or an HBO, man. You get some video in there with a coach and Roenick or whoever it's going to be. That'd be pretty good material, I would think. Well, congrats on, again, the Hall of Fame down in Philly, and good luck with the NHL on TNT. We always appreciate you finding time for us. Thank you, Rick.
Okay, guys, thanks. Appreciate it.
There's Rick Tocchet, longtime NHLer and head coach and the NHL on TNT analyst, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. They take away the fears of buying a pre-owned vehicle by sharing service history, lean history, and accident history. Find out more at MapleToyota.com.
It's funny how, like, anytime you mention the name Jim Schoenfeld, what do you think of? The Koharski.
Right, yelling and screaming at him.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Get another donut.
You fat pig.
Yeah, like, that's
that
what you
ruthless.
Think of.
Ruthless.
Yeah, he was, but he was a, like, you see those guys around the rink, their hands are like, their fingers are the size of bananas. Like, they're just giant men. Same with Paul Holmgren. Like, Homer's he's a grizzled guy, he's lean, but his hands don't fit his body. They're
no,
just giant.
Just abnormal. I remember yeah. He grabbed me as soon as I got drafted. I was so excited, and he grabbed me by the arm. And he brought me into the Whalers locker room, which was just left of the stage. And he looked at me and he goes, don't you forget what you talked about. And I go, what? He goes, you told me you could make the team right away, so don't forget it. I didn't forget you said that, so you better not forget it. And then he just walked away. I was like, oh, my God.
This guy might dummy me at camp.
Yes.
Dummy.
Dummy me. You better not be a liar, he said.
Jim Schoenfeld is from a town called Galt, Ontario.
Galt. I'm looking at his HockeyDB. No, when you press on HockeyDB, the pictures, they change, like the multiple pictures throughout your career. There's one picture in there that he looks like Mark Davis.
Yeah,
he's
I'm looking
the
at
same
it right
hair
now. He does. Yeah, you're right. He does have a Lloyd Christmas going.
He was grizzled, man. I liked him. He was gritty.
Yeah.
Gritty.
Those. I mean, there's still guys, and like he mentioned, Craig Berube. Clearly, like I don't know how many young guys in St. Louis really know the history of Berube, but terrifying. Rick Tocchet was tough as nails.
Imagine,
Quinn was tough as nails. You know,
you imagine Craig Berube and Rick Tocchet just sitting there telling stories.
Oh.
Like those guys have have seen wars.
I would guess they've probably fought each other. Like, I know they were teammates and they're buddies, but I'd almost be surprised if they didn't have a career fight between the two of them.
Yeah.
But, yeah, we always appreciate Rick Tocchet coming on. Like, I'm looking at the 92-93 Pens because we referenced Mario, and he was the last guy, I believe, that season to hit 130 or more points. Lemieux's stat line is just insane.
It's outrageous, dude.
Like, he played 60 games. He had 69 goals and 160 points. And listen, this is actually might be even more, it's not more impressive, and it's really not equally as impressive, but it's close. Rick Tocchet that year played 80 games, had 48 goals, 109 points, 252 penalty minutes.
Wow.
Could you imagine scoring 48 times?
252?
He had 48 goals, 109 points, and 252 penalty minutes. Like, that's got to be the most Gordie Howe season of all time.
Dude, those guys, like Tocchet, Shanahan, Keith Tkachuk, it's amazing what they were doing. They were scoring fifth Cam Neely and beating the piss out of people along the way.
Yeah.
Yeah, for fun.
Yep. Literally. Gary Roberts would have been probably in that crowd.
Oh, right there with him. He was one of the best, man. 50 goals and beating the hell out of people.
Jeez.
But those guys, they actually... They enjoyed doing it. Like, I did. I played with Shanny only 1 year, but we'd be up 4-1 or losing 7-1, and he would just say, I'm going to go beat somebody up. And I didn't like it because I didn't like it playing with him or Ronnie, because Ronnie, somebody would punch him in the face, and I would be like, I can't do anything about that. I can't do it. And when Shanny started wanting to beat up these guys, usually tough guys, and I'm just standing there with Nelson Emerson, it's like, I can't deal with anybody else here, so... Yeah. This is a solo mission for you.
Yeah. Well, now I'm looking up Gary Roberts' stats, because here's Gary's equivalent, all right? In 91-92, so the season before the one I just referenced with Rick Tocchet, Roberts played 76 games in Calgary. He had 53 goals, 90 points, 207 penalty minutes. So that's 50 and 207 for Gary Roberts.
That's like, impressive.
His first, like, 5 years in the league, like, full years, he had, these were his PIMs, 282, 250, 222, 252, 207.
Yeah, like just, what are you doing out there?
That's 15. That's 12 to 15 fights and a bunch of roughing penalties and a bunch of goals.
Yeah,
right.
That's
exactly.
What
are you doing out there? You're scoring and chopping people's heads off.
That's pretty much what he was doing, Rick Tocchet was doing.
It's either on the power play creating offense or absolutely just beating someone's head in.
We should try no other way around it. It is. We should try and have a historian go through some of the craziest stat lines. Like, I know in the minors there are guys. I played with this guy in the East Coast League a million years ago. His name was Andy Bezo, and he was like 5'9". And he was an animal. And years later, when I was in the NHL, I heard his name. He had like 550 minutes in the AHL. It's like, this guy is like lost his mind. Like,
how do you even accumulate that many penalty minutes?
Like it just, I don't know if tens are included or whatever, but
it must
like,
be, yeah.
There's just got to be, like, there are some insane stat lines. Obviously, these are just, they're impressive because these guys are, like, goal scorer, they're 50 goals.
53 goals for Gary Roberts.
Right, like you're scoring 50 in the National Hockey League, and you're still fighting 15 to 20 times and getting 250 minutes. Like, that's insane.
And on top of all of it, this is early 90s. That's when Lindros rolled into the league.
Yeah.
So all these guys are doing this, and Big E's like, all right, I'm here too. So whatever happens here, you know, like. 92-93, that would have been his rookie season, I believe.
Yeah.
And I'll bet you, like, let me quickly look him up. What do you think his top stat line would be in terms of what we're talking about here?
Lindros?
Yeah,
50,
Lindros.
55 goals, 110 points.
No way. He would have, about 250 PIMs.
That's what I'm saying, like 206 for penalty minutes.
And no, he never got that high. His highest is... In 95-96, he had 47 goals, 115 points, 163 penalty minutes.
Wow.
That's still ridiculous. Like, that's probably when he won the Hart. I'm assuming. Yeah. Although that might have been the – yeah, I think it probably was when he won the Hart.
Well, there was a time where
that
I –
was a scary man. Scary stuff.
You know, with Gretzky and Lemieux in the league, there were people that were more concerned about Lindros, put it that way.
Oh, like, yeah.
There was a time
he walked up to – I'll never forget a face-off. I felt like a fan. I was a 19-year-old kid, and he skated up to Shanny and said, tell 22 if he touches me again, I'm going to kill him tonight. And then he just put his stick down, and I was like, I'm glad I wasn't 22.
Yeah. Who was 22?
Just hearing that conversation, I'm like, what the hell am I doing for a job right now when that monster is just threatening to kill another guy, and I have to deal with him on the ice, and he's pissed off. I thought to myself, if that puck goes in the corner off this face-off and I hear him breathing, I'm just changing because it'll kill me.
It's like bull, man. It's honestly like bulls on parade.
Was that Paul Ranheim? 22?
No, who's it was Mark Jansen. Because I guess Janner was all old. He was tough, too. But he told him. He's like, I'm going to kill that guy. And I
that's
was like,
amazing. I love the conversation. Go to Shanny probably went back to him and said, that's cool. Tell 18 on your team, I'm going to kill him. If he touches
anything. It's like, yeah, you kill him, then I'll kill that guy. And then it's just like, what the hell am I? What kind of job is this?
Well,
what a job.
Yeah, it is.
Like, I always say, Rick in accounting has no idea what the hell's going on out there.
Yeah. Like, I used to laugh because we had a trio of tough guys on our team in St. Louis. It was Chaser, Rudy Poshchek, and Tony Twist. Oof. And they always said it was the race for Chase because Chaser was a middle to heavyweight. And Twister at that time was the undisputed, like, number one. And he didn't have a lot of dance partners. But Chaser would be just.
How is
Chaser
not considered a heavyweight? Like, you explain
that
to me.
Yeah.
He fought, but it just. If you guys know Chaser.
He was a light heavy.
He's a light heavy. He's like a, what? How big is Chaser?
5'11.
5'11.
He's like Wendell, basically. Like, Wendell was the same thing. Not the biggest guy, but there was no one he wouldn't fight.
No, I saw Chaser fight this guy named Francois Leroux. The guy was like 6'8". He played for Colorado.
Yeah,
he went to
monster.
He was an absolute mutant. He went to punch Chaser in the face. Chaser caught the punch, caught it, and was fighting him with the guy's hand in his palm
grip.
In his hand in his grip, literally.
I
like
love it.
Chaser was a beauty, but
those are, I mean, anyone that's willing to fight is has stones and, you know, is courageous. That goes across the board, clearly.
Right.
But there's something about guys who are not pound for pound the biggest, yet are just willing, like we talk about with Chaser, Wendell. I mean, there's just guys where it's like, I can't believe you just fought that guy.
Yeah. Right.
Like Wendell, there's a YouTube clips where he fought Probert twice, I believe, in the same night. And that's when Proby was the king.
Yeah, their like, man.
The king.
That man.
And Wendell was like, we're going twice, happily, gardens. Yep, whenever you're ready. It's like, okay, that's normal.
Yeah.
Wendell, I'll bet you we should look up. What are we talking about here? Like, Wendell, when he had 47 in a season, he must have had 250 pims.
Oh, for sure. He would have had that. Just quickly, Alan sent me a note of Andy Bezo. 1995-96 season. He played 74 games, 10 goals, 11 assists, 21 points, 590 penalty minutes.
Oh, man.
In the IHL, the Fort Wayne Comets. That's who he played for.
That
can you imagine 590 minutes?
That's making a mark on the league. You know, that's getting yourself
it's
in there.
It's craziness. Yeah.
Like, Wendell's first 2 years in the league. So his first year in the league, he played 66 games. He had 34 goals, 227 penalty minutes. He was 18. And his second year, he played 80 games. He had 37 goals, 60 points, 271 penalty minutes.
Wow.
19 years old, 37 and 271. For Wendell. I wonder why people love them as much as they did here
in
Toronto.
Wow.
Yeah, there's some pretty good ones out there. Someone's saying look up Al Secord. Al Secord, who not shockingly is from Sudbury, Ontario.
Just ready.
In 81-82, he had 44 goals and 303 penalty minutes.
Wow.
44 snipes, 303 penalty minutes.
And no bucket. And feather hairdo.
Absolutely. Just. He had the Ron Duguay feather. I'll bet you Duguay had a couple years where he'd have 30-plus and 200 penalty minutes.
Oh, for sure. For sure.
Okay, we'll keep looking it up. People can send in who they want us to look up, and we'll try to compile the best stat lines for...
There are some amazing stat lines out there.
Yeah, just offensive production and fights and penalties. And because it's not all fights. It's hacking and whacking and slashing, and it's the whole nine across the board.